This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 in the morning on Monday, the 7th of February. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. Now, your social media timeline may have been filled with photos of kids getting their vaccination jab over the past few days. And that's because the COVID-19 vaccination program for children, also known as PIC Kids, officially kicked off last Thursday.
So far, there have been 500,000 children registered under the program to receive the jab, which is 15% of the 5 to 11-year-old demographic. The government is aiming to reach a 50% vaccination rate for this age group.
Now, the PIC Kids rollout begins amid a push for adults to also take their booster jabs, because if we look at the daily number of COVID-19 cases, it has surpassed 10,000 for the first time since October, no thanks to the Omicron variant, which then raises the question about the timetable for Malaysia to head into an endemic phase of COVID-19, and are we ready to lift restrictions even as case numbers rise?
For some thoughts on how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together in reaching the endemic phase, we speak to Dr. Koo Yung Kian, Managing Editor of the Malaysian Medical Gazette. Yung Kian, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Now, the government is targeting a 50% take-up vaccination rate for children aged 5 to 11 years old. What needs to be done, in your opinion, to increase the take-up rate for PIC Kids?
Before we talk about what to do to increase the take-up rate, we have to understand the process on how parents decide whether they want to vaccinate the kids. You can look at it as first would be engagement with the parents, looking at logistics, how do we get the parents to bring their children to get vaccinated, and last of all, the assurance about the safety and the side effects of the vaccine. In terms of engagement, I probably think that would be needs to be a lot more engagement. The engagement must not only be in volume, but also must be consistent and constant. So basically, the whole communication machinery of the government, of other parties, NGOs, etc., needs to be mobilized. We have seen quite a bit of online forums, etc., but it needs to be stepped up quite a bit. Of course, media messaging is important. You know, we have radio, TV, PSAs, etc. We also can put up road shows or PSAs in malls, public spaces, community centers, etc. I think using community help would be quite useful, you know, through religious sermons. Even school teachers can help by regularly reminding parents when they come to pick up their child that their child should be vaccinated. This process is actually to be consistent and constant in sort of like a nagging the parents to take a proactive stance to go get their children vaccinated. Understandably, there will be some hesitancy with parents for their children. And often how parents we perceive risk for a child is different from how we perceive risk as an adult. So the engagement must be very specific to the children population and should be very clear. Second, logistically, I think barriers to getting vaccinated must be always keep getting lowered. Now we have walk-ins to vaccination centres, which is good. I think we can also expand this to school vaccination sites. You know, we have been using schools as a vaccination centre for many years, you know, with BCG, with tetanus, etc. So we will have to provide incentive for support for parents who find it difficult to bring their children to centres, you know, like protected time off, MC, etc. So I think basically for engagement, it's also important for us to not only engage on the benefits or the safety side, but also to be more open on the side effects. You know, it's undeniable that there will be potential side effects. And probably this is the highest area of concern for parents. And I think an open conversation about this can increase the trust between parents and authorities.
There is a lot of concern about vaccinating children for COVID-19. Some opine that given the death rate of COVID-19 is very low, especially among children, hence the need to vaccinate is less urgent. What do you make of this argument?
We have to be careful on how we interpret the death data. We have probably 2 years of data now, 2 to 3 years of data. But we have to remember that within that 2 years, there was a lot of lockdowns, some school closures, etc. So you probably have shielded our children from social interaction a bit more. So the chances of getting COVID at that time was less. So you could attribute that to the low death rate to that. But of course, overall, the death rates have been low, also because of high vaccination rates among adults. So transmission to children also has been low. You know, the threshold for the pediatric or the children population has always been quite low. You know, we don't want to unnecessarily expose them to risk. So I think even one preventable death is too many. And if we have the means to avoid this, we should really do our best to pursue it.
Can you help us clarify the issue over dosages? Because the standard dose is issued to all children between the age of 5 to 11 years old. But the weight can vary a lot between a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old, for example. So help us understand why there is a standardized dose for children.
Vaccine is a bit different, actually. It's a misconception that all drugs or medication or vaccines need to be weight-specific. For drugs, yes. Example, if we give Panadol, paracetamol or antibiotics to children, we need a certain amount of concentration in the blood for it to have an optimum and safe effect. But vaccines are usually given based on immunological age. So a child's immune system from 5 to 11 is roughly the same. They produce the same robust response from vaccines. And trials, clinical trials conducted in this age group is basically specifically to find the balance between the best immune response and the least side effects. So dosage is one thing. Second is also, of course, the intervals between the dosage. We have seen the trials look at about 10 micrograms of the Pfizer's vaccine, two doses, that seem to achieve this desired effect. It's also worth noting that a child's immune system is likely a bit more flexible or malleable. They are more suited to vaccination than adults. You know, we have to remember they have been getting vaccinated since birth, so the body probably is getting a bit more used to the vaccine. They produce a better response, and hopefully they also produce lesser side effects as compared to our adults, a more mature immune system.
Now, Yung Kian, if we can just pivot to the COVID-19 situation at the moment, we are seeing the number of cases rise to 5 digits, with over 10,000 new cases recorded over the weekend. So how concerned should the public be over this new wave of infections, taking into account the higher vaccination rate?
Daily cases only tell so much. It's only one indicator. If you want to know deeper, we'll probably have to look at the type and severity of cases. What are the age groups mostly affected, and obviously how they present to us in the hospitals or in the healthcare institutions. But overall data shows that this specific Omicron variant is highly infectious. It does seem to generate a milder disease. Of course, a highly vaccinated population helps with this. But if we look at this, we also can see the demography of these patients. Are they mostly in the younger age group, 20 to 40s? This is most likely, because you know, as social interaction is grows higher, as you open up the economy, people start to go to work, start to socialize. So if we know that the cases are milder and also in this age group, we can look at preparing our primary healthcare institutions, you know, GPs, clinical setting, where they will likely present first, and we have to prepare them for this wave of people coming in with mild symptoms, but they still need appropriate care. The second likely age group in this wave is, of course, the children. You know, we've only just begun our 5 to 11 vaccinations, and everybody below 5 is still at risk. You know, as school opens, social interaction is higher in this age group. So we also have to prepare pediatric-specific support in hospitals so we don't suddenly find ourselves lacking of specialized care for them. So how concerned should we be? I don't think we really need to raise the alarm bells as of yet. But I think a certain amount of foresight and caution is helpful so we can prepare. You know, like you always say, hope for the best, but we always prepare for the worst.
We're seeing countries around the world shed restrictions as vaccination rates increase, despite a rise in infections. This is also something that our health minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, said Malaysia is considering for the future. What SOPs need to remain and what can we forego?
The issue of restrictions is a bit tricky and probably a very tough decision to make. Lifting or changing restrictions or SOPs at this point in time probably requires a bit of courage, and you know, some would also call it a gamble. I think traditionally, as some Asian countries are a bit risk averse, we tend to look at global patterns to see how it plays out elsewhere. You know, but even then, you know, we find it sometimes hard to change what we are comfortable at this point. I think for now, first thing that we could probably relax a little is probably broader restrictions. We now have a robust rapid testing, home quarantine system with MySajatra, etc. So I think instead of an outright border closure to the outside world, we should let in more people. Of course, you know, there's still many non-citizen or resident loved ones and families outside of Malaysia. I think it's probably time to let them to reunite. You know, not to mention that we also need the help of, we need to help the tourism industry as well. But in terms of relaxing regular SOPs, instead of looking at the perspective of relaxing them, we should see where we can optimize them instead. So it's not just about relaxation. You know, For example, if we have proper guidance, proper guidelines and proper ventilation network spaces, public spaces, you know, you could potentially let more face-to-face meetings, more face-to-face classes, or maybe higher capacity for dining in restaurants, etc. So I think it's worthwhile to continuously review these SOPs, not only just to relax them, but also tweak it a little. You know, you add some, you minus some, just to provide a good layer of protection while trying to, you know, move on a little bit with our lives.
Yun Kian, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Dr. Koo Yun Kian, Managing Editor at the Malaysian Medical Gazette, weighing in on the rollout of PIK Kids, that's the COVID-19 vaccination program for children, as well as what an endemic phase could look like in Malaysia when we start to lift restrictions. And I really like what he said about how SOPs, how we maybe not think of SOPs so much as we're lifting them, but optimizing them. Mm. When do SOPs most benefit depending on the circumstances? And in the meantime, maybe other places can be a little bit more lenient.
Yeah, so the argument here is to be a bit more flexible, right? And also accept that, okay, policymakers will adjust the SOPs as they come, you know, as cases rise or they fall. But I think what needs to be improved on is maybe the communication of them. And this is also reflected in the PIK Kids program, because I get some feedback from family friends who have children and they were a little bit confused, like where do they go, where do they sign up, and I think all the information needs to be there, and even maybe a Q&A somewhere, you know, so parents can go in and look at this on a website and find out all their questions, all their answers to all their questions immediately.
I mean, that was something that Yun Kian pointed out, right? Engagement really has to be consistent. It has to be persistent. It has to be as widespread as possible. Mm. I mean, and I think maybe that's something we're not quite seeing if the government wants to increase the rate for children, because you have to persuade the parents,
yes,
in order for children to be vaccinated.
And on a practical level, I think companies should give parents a day off to allow if they need to take their kids for vaccination, because otherwise it can be a bit of a chore.
Very true.
I think more than a day, because, you know, what if there's side effects and the kid needs to be taken care of? So, you know.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.